Okay, good morning, Cathy. Cathy Donaghy, journalist and author. How are you?
Hi, Greg.
Great to have you back on the show. I mean, obviously, you're a prolific writer and write many articles and what have you, but an interesting one most recently, I hate the forgotten county tag, but Donegal's an example of rural neglect, is the headline. I'm not sure if you manufactured the headline or the editor did, but be that as it may, it is an interesting article. And I just wanted to invite you on to talk through the points that you made. Good morning, Cathy. So talk to us about the thrust of the article or the feature.
Well, I think I was writing about, you know, the election and trying to see the general election through the prism of the eyes of someone who lives in rural Ireland. And I suppose Donegal in particular, because it's a place I obviously know and I live here and I know it well. I've covered many elections over the years and I was struck by how lacklustre I find this one. And I was also struck by, you know, I'm watching the hustings and the canvassers out and everything seems very East Coast. Everything seems very kind of removed. There's sort of like talk of the lattes and greystones and I think they've made it as far as Monaghan. But I just feel like we're here on the wing of the plane, Greg, you know, and I feel like there's issues. Obviously, our local politicians are out and all weathers and fair play to them. But I do feel like we're sort of removed from the action. Do you know what I mean? And I was looking at it with through that lens. And then I started to dig into, well, what are the issues here? And when you look at the issues here, well, they're quite clear. Housing is obviously a big issue everywhere, but, you know, it's sort of very, we're very impacted by the micro crisis. I also think that one of the biggest deals for Donegal, and it does not get talked about half enough, is our infrastructure and the lack of it. You know, we are, if you look at a map of, and someone does this map every so often and they put it on social media and it shows like the veins of infrastructure from power plants to you know the rail links, you know, motorways, all of the access,
health
the
services,
things that make
yeah.
us viable.
So and also
you know that
to
map I'm talking about, Greg?
Yeah, exactly. And in, there's a slight we just have a slight issue with Zoom today, Cathy. So I didn't mean to talk across you there. It's just pausing a little bit. We'll persist, though.
Yeah.
Also, too, when we talk about sort of rural issues, and you make this point in the article, and I want to hear more from you on it, it kind of gets drilled down to a couple of things. And what stood out for me was the Green Party manifesto, which they published recently. And there was talk about, you know, rural transport. Sorry, not rural transport, public transport. And a lot of the big ones were in and around cities. And it feels like sort of we have local link and that's grand. You'll be happy with that and we'll stick an extra bus on and that's all it. But, you know, when it comes down to what is rural issues, it kind of overlooks really rural life and drills it down to almost what city folk might think bothers us in rural areas. Is that a... that's the view I sort of was getting to from your article.
Yeah, and I think the transport thing really bothers me a lot, Greg. I remember, you know, doing a story over in West Donegal, and I was going to Gador one morning, and when I was sitting in the car with my photographer colleague, he took a lovely video. We were going that road at the back of Errigal. And I remember posting it on my social media, and there was a car in front, I think, and someone came back and said, all I see is gas guzzling in Donegal. And, you know, my response is, how do you expect me to do my work to get from Inishowen at the north to Gador? I mean, am I supposed to there's no train. You know, the buses to link up to Gador. Am I supposed to get on a bike and drive? You know, people, if you don't have a car in Donegal, how are you supposed to do anything? How do you, you know, how can we manage? So, yeah, I do think... You know, there's a lot of talk on Lewis and a metro in Dublin, but we really need the basics. You know, we're at the point of sort of going back to making us accessible. And I think businesses are really struggling to get new infrastructure and to get developments. And we need to, you need to access us. Another bugbear I have is people say to me, oh, I'd go to Donegal more if I could get there easier. We are no further away from the capital city than Cork. Or Kerry. Why does it feel that we are to people? It's because of the lack of a train line. You know, that's the problem here. And the motorways, you know, if you try to get from Derry to Dublin, you travel that A5, it's a death trap. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an awful road.
There is.
And it is oversubscribed. I went to Dublin recently and only I left early. It was like, you know, it's awful.
Yeah, and the problem is we seem to have policies that we try to that are for urban areas, and we try to employ them in local areas. And there are many examples. So I'm not pulling this out of my out of the back of my head. Say, for instance, our policing model, the Garda model, is a model that works well in Galway, Cork, and Dublin. We employ that the same system here, where cars are the policing is out on the streets, where cars are all over the place. But the county's so big, it doesn't really necessarily work like that. Or the ambulance system. The way the ambulance system works up here is designed for a city. It's where one place covers another. But what happens here for us, it's Carrick on Shannon covering Killybegs and Killybegs covering Inishowen. You know, these are national models that generally don't work in a rural area. The planning model is to move everyone into urban areas to provide transport and services in more urban areas. But that doesn't really talk to living in rural Ireland. So the policies and some of the really big issues are actually they're not designed at all to promote or enhance rural life. To the contrary, they're designed effectively to depopulate rural Ireland. And of course, if you want to include farming, Cathy, plant trees where everyone used to live and farm.
I agree with you, Greg. And I think, you know, this is a debate that we need to have, a mature, grown-up debate about what rural Ireland means. That's the starting point, right? Because rural Ireland and the politicians, just as soon as they start talking about rural Ireland, they start talking about farmers, right? Like, there are farmers all around us, right? But most people living in rural Ireland are not farmers anymore. They do jobs, they work online, they work for a local company, they get in their car, they drive there. You know, we need to have a mature debate about what living and thriving in rural Ireland looks like. And it's not to denigrate, you know, what farmers do or their role in rural Ireland. That's not it. But as soon as you open up this debate, it's like, oh, you're having a go at the farmers. I'm not. I'm saying we need to have a grown-up debate about what we want for our lives to look like in rural Ireland. What services do we need? What, you know, do we have Garda on the beat? Do we have access to an ambulance? How do we get to hospital? All of these things we need to look at them. Do we, you know, your kids going to school, it would be nice to think they could stay in Donegal and have jobs here if that's they so wished. We need to have a grown-up, mature debate about rural Ireland that's not about dereliction, okay? And it's not about farmers. That is what we need to start talking about, you know, all our lives, the lives of our neighbours, people around us. What do we want that to look like? You know, and I think in Donegal, we really need to, you know, I don't see this being talked about at all. We're not getting into the nitty-gritty of how this looks like. And I'm really sorry the Forgotten County. I mentioned it in the piece, which is why it was on the headline. I hate the tag. I absolutely hate it. I don't want to do anything that talks down our county. Everything I do in my working life is to try and, you know, make this place better by focusing on it. But, you know, when you see those, that map, that infrastructure, and you see what we look like on a map, and you look at where the canvassers are and the hosting, it feels like we're removed. It feels like we're so peripheral to what's going on in government that we are forgotten. And then Micah add the tin or the hat on it altogether, you know. And
this is maybe also too,
we have neglect, and yeah, I hate to say it, you know.
Of course, and that Zoom line's playing up on us. I really do appreciate your time, though, Cathy, and we got your points. Thank you so much for it. I do, as I say, appreciate it greatly. Cathy Donaghy, journalist and author, and I think too, and add to that, what happens, this is then we get people who are making decisions in Dublin, and they look at a map and they see Sligo almost as the centre of the Northwest. And if something's provided in Sligo, well, that's good enough for Donegal, isn't it? But I also get where Cathy's coming from, as Tony does. Hi, Tony. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
You're agreeing with Cathy there. What's your view?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, this is kind of the forgotten part of Ireland, the Northwest, you could say. They're talking about the Belfast and Ardagh Bypass. They've been talking about it now for 50 years almost. I worked in an architect's office way back when, and it was a line on a map that time, 50 years ago. It's still a line on a map.
Well, the only thing that's changed, it's switched onto the other side of the towns.
What's that? Yeah, that's exactly right.
It switched from east to west or west to
east.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, it was on the... It was on the the southern side of the town, you would call it. And now it's on, well, now to the western, or the, you know, whatever. But still nothing's happened. They're still talking about it.
And you just obviously aren't being over-parochial and talking about where you live. You've also referenced, you know, the lack of motorways, the eternal hope of a train. To develop access to the region, to say, right, this is an important part of the country, let's bring it into the fold with proper access.
Yeah, you know, the only time Donegal's mentioned really is about the wild Atlantic Way. Like, that seemed to be the big focus I have in Donegal this last couple of years now there. But there's more to Donegal like than the wild Atlantic Way. Letterkenny is a disaster to get into Letterkenny or to come out of Letterkenny. And they spent a fortune there on that part of the road there from the Polestar over to the motorway, and it's actually worse now than ever it was. I don't know what to be thinking on these people that do these designs or these planners, whatever, where they're coming from, what they're at. But anyway,
I think we heard the phrase last week. I think it's desktop studies. It's desktop stuff. It's not necessarily local knowledge, people on the ground. And I think that's the problem, that this stuff is done remotely and not considering the reality of life here and trying to get around.
Yeah, well, you know, listening to these people going around there now looking for the vote, looking for, you know, the election coming up, I never hear any of them mentioning the infrastructure. You know, it's all about trying to do down the other party, you know, like Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, trying to do down Sinn Féin, or vice versa. You know, that seems to be the big chat always. There's no talk about what they can do to make things better, to improve things.
It is interesting because if you go to, say, for instance, the old Buncrana Town Council meetings, just using Buncrana as an example, or even the council meetings, you do get people from all different parties. But around that table, and it's the same in other municipal district areas, they do pull together, but for the betterment of that particular region. You know, you'll have Sinn Féin back in Fianna Fáil and Fianna Fáil back in an independent because it's there to better the region. And they're elected politicians as well. But you escalate that up to Chuck the Dolls, right? And next thing you know, it's national sniping on a local stage. There's no pulling on sort of the county jersey to work together actively to improve things.
That is exactly right, what you said there, Greg. That's right. I was just saying to Caroline there, if you take the lake of Australia was only more or less been developed this last 200 years where people went there to live and to... In fact, a lot of people that went to Australia, they were sent there as criminals from Ireland, a lot of for minor offences. It was part of the British government empire, as part of their policy that time, was to get people into Australia to build it up. And they were sent there from all over the world, most of them as for minor offences. But 200 years later, Australia is one of the most modern countries in the world, built up by people who were sent there for no good reason. Yet now this country is still 200 years, you could say, behind the times in places.
And going backwards, because if you go back 100 years... We had a train.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we're 100 years behind where we were, Tony. Yeah. Lovely to chat to you. Well, thanks for your views, Tony. Really appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, God bless you. Take care. Right, so if you want to get around, maybe you do need a car or maybe you want to change your car. Well, we've got your back here at Highland Radio because it's time to mention the Christmas car draw. Yes, indeed. For those of you who have spare finances for it and would like to have a bit of crack at a competition that's for us here in the Northwest. How would you like to win a brand new Toyota Yaris Cross? It's worth over 30K. We had the pleasure of launching this last Friday. And it's a competition, as I say, running here in Highland Radio. The call will be given away on the 23rd of December. And you can pick it up early January because we want it on the new plates for you, right? So you want a brand new car. It is a brand new car, but you know what I'm on about. So you can come up and sit in it and have a look at it on the 23rd of December when you win it. And we'll have it on the new plates for you early January. Now, it's very simple to enter. You can log on to our website, highlandradio.com, click win a car, and you have the option, two options. We've made it really simple. You can buy a single ticket for €15 or a tenner each, five for 50. So if you want to give these as Christmas presents, birthday presents, or just suit yourself, you receive an email with your tickets attached, by the way, and it could be you who's out of that draw drum on the 23rd of December. Between now and then, too, as we build up to the grand finale, there will be some, let me just put it like this, I don't know, but I'm assured that in the week leading up to the card draw, I wish I was told, because I think it would work, I think it would help for you guys to know. But anyway, we will have extra stuff. You know the way it goes, don't you? That's in the lead up, the week leading up, potentially, or even in advance of that. I'm not really quite sure. I'm not paid enough to know this stuff. But all I know is that you can go onto the website, highlandradio.com, buy a ticket, buy five. It's cheaper with five, of course. And you could be in with the chance of winning this beautiful car. It is a stunner. Beautiful inside as well. It's got the screen inside. It's got Apple Play, so your maps pop up on the screen. It's got Android Auto for that. There's plug-in. You can plug your phone in anywhere you like and charge it. Heated air conditioning. It's got air conditioning and all the bells and whistles that you would hope for. It's a hybrid as well, too, so you're doing your bit for the environment. If you want a ticket, highlandradio.com, win a car. Buy a ticket for 15, 5 for 50. If you don't want to do anything online, it's up to you. This is very safe and secure, but you can call up to us here at Highland Radio at the Mountaintop in Letterkenny. We'll sort you out during office hours, or give us a ring on the phone and we can process it there for you as well. But if you are not in, you cannot win. I think I've just made that up. I've never heard that anywhere else before. So buy your tickets now. Get in them nice and early, particularly if your low numbers are, because I think they're given out sequentially. So if you like your low numbers, now's the time to get in. Right, back with more after this short break.
Sponsor of the 9 till noon show, Kernan's Diner, Newton Cunningham. With ample parking for buses and large groups, delicious breakfasts and hearty lunches. It's the ideal spot for a quick bite or leisurely meal. Mr. Blue Sky,
please tell us why. The Lotto jackpot is an estimated 7 million euro. Play responsibly in store, in app, or at lottery.ie. The National Lottery. It could be you.
Easy Living Furniture's massive Black Friday sale is now on. Everything's reduced by up to a whopping 60% off on sofas, dining, bedrooms, mattresses, accessories, and Christmas. Like the new Ashbrook three-seater power recliner sofa. Now only £1,499, saving you £700. Exclusive to Easy Living Furniture. Crescent Link Retail Park, Derry, Londonderry. Don't miss out.
Tesco Club Card gives you the power to more this season. Like Tesco finest Irish sirloin joint with black pepper and sea salt, now half price. Or start the celebrations or heroes and more chocolate tubs, now 3 for €10. And stock up for the season with Pepsi Max 7-Up Zero or Club Orange 18 packs, now €8 each. Helping feed your Christmas spirit. Shop in store or online. Tesco, every little helps. Subject to availability, available in most stores. Prices vary in express stores. T's and C's apply. Deposit and customer quotas may apply. See Tesco.ie.
Be the first to test drive the brand new Nissan Qashqai at iMotors. Low finance rates and up to €4,000 available on trade-in boosters. iMotors are offering any customer who orders before December 23rd the chance to win €10,000. Visit our showroom today.
iMotors. Fearless generation.
Shedehina and Neula Fehid Sawin, Lana Votala Lehag Ul Tauchain Nahedin. Agas Anishan Town Le Faulum Fina Hirda Hordi Tauchain, Ida Hoy Chantur. Lega Megtu Fureir Le Rawa Eanov, Erlana Votala. Sheda Vota, Doho. Ka Vota, Neula Fehid Sawin. Ungamishun Tauchain, Kemishun Navsplach Tauchain Nahedin. Ta Tila Olish, Electoral Commission, Punkai E.
Highland Radio Time Checks, brought to you by Airgrid, the operator and developer of Ireland's electricity grid. Airgrid, powering up communities, powering up Ireland. The time is
24 minutes past 11. Jerry McKeever, independent candidate in the general election. Hi, Jerry. Good morning to you.
Hello, Greg. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
No, it's good to have you on, Jerry. What's the point you wanted to make? It's in relation to our infrastructure, I think, isn't it?
Yes, I was out there and I caught the last little bit of that last item you did.
Yes.
You know, look, we're part of an area in the north and west that is 18% of the country's population. We get less than 10% of infrastructure spend. The stats just back it up. It's factual, Greg.
What do you think we need to be doing? Do we need to sort of do what we see in other countries where there's positive discrimination in terms of spend and development in, you know, less serviced regions such as the Northwest, positive discrimination, I suppose?
I think we probably do. You have to balance that up. I mean, we're getting nearly half what we should be getting. But I mean, like, my policies are actually very local, but they're nationalized because, you know, builders say we can't even build, say, 30,000 houses a year. The government, I think, know this. They're promising 50 or 60. I could almost call my campaign project infrastructure. We need more electricity. We're going to run out of electricity in this country by 2030. Data centers are going to eat up. So, you know, we need to do something to keep corporate Ireland in Ireland. We're going to lose it if we don't have infrastructure, water, sewage, etc., roads. We all know the story, Greg.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously, Irish Water would argue they've made significant investment, but one of the biggest barriers to development in this county, and I put this to the Taoiseach earlier this year directly to him long before there was an election, where are you going to build the houses? What water supply are you going to plug them into? Where are people going to flush their waste? Obviously in one-off situations it's different, septic tanks and stuff, but in terms of major development, what is the capacity for Mulville? What is the capacity for Buncrana to grow? What's the capacity for Carn Donagh to grow? Donegal Town, you know, Ballybofey, Stranorlar? These are all questions, infrastructural questions, I think, Gerry.
Well, Greg, developers will tell you that the capacity is not there at the moment. I think in Letterkenny, our sewage treatment centre is under pressure. Water supply isn't there. Like, personally, I believe what needs to be done is an awful lot of that Apple money, and everyone's suggesting how it should be spent. I think an awful lot, nearly all of it, should be spent in infrastructure, water, electric grid, etc. You know, my biggest fear is that, you know, the young are going to leave the country. They don't see a future for themselves. Not just the young, people out there are earning a living. The government suggests that the affordable houses are over 300 grand. You know, we have to do something about this. And if we can actually invest massively in infrastructure, we can build in several more sites. I would suggest even the government produce service sites, locations different. For instance, let's say outside a village like maybe Creasla, who maybe struggling to keep their shops open, build maybe one of your little sites of 200 quarter acre sites outside it and wired up with water, electricity. But this needs a massive spend on infrastructure. Infrastructure is going to be the foundation of our future in this country. We can't build without it. It's a starting block, Greg.
Yeah, I there's an awful lot of talk about affordable houses, and I get that, and we can bandy around the big numbers. But the bottom line is there's people living in Donegal now renting properties for twice what they'd be paying to own that property. Yes. But they can't qualify for a mortgage, and they can't save because they're paying double the rent as to what they might pay as a mortgage. So that there's a lot of conversation about what an affordable house is, but at the end of the day, whatever it is, right, it's an asset. People are having to pay double what a mortgage might be in rent. Why is that? Why not look at that and close that gap so people aren't renting but they're actually buying? And as I say, all right, if the house is $350, at least that's the value of their asset. I don't know. I'm not explaining it very well, but it doesn't matter how much my house is worth because I'm not going to sell it, right? But it does matter how much I'm paying per month to own it. And people at the moment are paying double for uncertain rental agreements than it would cost them to buy it. Let's make it more affordable then for people to buy it. And if the houses are more expensive, well, then that's a big asset that they have.
Well, for me, you know, the most immediate fear for me now is when the basic minimum wage goes up again in January, that the first thing landlords are going to say is, God, people have another 150 quid a month on their wages. We're going to bump the rent up in our 70. It's just a spiral.
Can I just say, Gerry, you know? don't worry about the private rental sector. Look what the council and the state do. You get an extra fiver, okay, in your pension or your living alone allowance or what have you. That year, there's an assessment of your ability to pay council rent. What do you think happens next? Mm-hmm. Your rent goes up a fiver.
That's right.
I know, I'm not taking away from your point about private landlords, but that's what the state does. They give you €5 an increase. You get assessed for how much you can actually pay for your council house, so they take the fiver off you. I'm laughing because it's so ridiculous. So that's what we do. That's what's happening publicly, let alone. And you make, Gerry, listen, I'm not disputing your point about the private landlords as well, but I just wonder where we'd be without private landlords as well, you know?
No, absolutely. But if you're renting at all, it's a minefield out there, you know, wherever you're renting from. My answer really, Greg, is massive infrastructural spend, free up planning permission to a massive degree all over the country, create service sites, and then allow people to build what they can afford. I mean, you know, I've looked into an awful lot of modular homes, and you know, wooden houses come out maybe 80% of a block house. Modulars, which can be guaranteed for 25 years with shelf life of 50 years, come in maybe at maybe 1,300 square foot or maybe between 100,000 and maybe 170, depending on what you want to buy. That, for me, is affordable. These are good houses. Mm. You're going to pay 950 quid a month in a mortgage there, as opposed to what are you going to pay at the moment, and opposed to certainly 1,400 quid a month in rent.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing, though, about the planning too, right? Okay, loosening up the planning is fine, but you still have the infrastructural problem, right? So so obviously I presume you're saying that has to happen in tandem. That's great if you want to build a house to the N56 on your own land, one-off housing, no one's going to complain. But I'll tell you one thing, Jerry, in this county, you start trying to build houses with loose planning regulations around Donegal Town or Boncrana or Dunloe, and all of a sudden that suggestion from you starts getting quite a little bit of pushback. We're still waiting on a Tesco in Donegal Town because everyone's bloody been objecting to it for 20 years.
It's not going to
be necessarily a popular decision to play fast and loose with planning regulations.
Well, you know, the other option is we keep going the way we're going, Greg. I mean, it needs something radical, something, you know, a new system. I'm chatting here about the big picture. I mean, I know what we're going to do with people in the next year or so, because it's going to carry on the way it's going. I don't think government policy is going to change an awful lot of things next year or two. We're probably going to see, I think a seed has to be planted now, Craig, maybe come the next time election, 2, 3, maybe 4 years' time, whereby we think differently. It's got to be radical. We can go on the road we're going at the moment and stay on the road, and it gets more dysfunctional, more expensive. We have aspiring inflation at the moment. Or we can actually look at the big picture and say, no, this must change. I mean, a lot of people that are objecting are going to say, fair enough, you know, the house is a lovely place, their view is unspoiled, but the kids have gone to Australia and they watch the grandkids grow up on Zoom. We have to have a major rethink the way we all think here. Mm-hmm. We've got to start critically thinking, what are we going to do to fix the big picture nationally? Because you can't fix Donegal until you fix things nationally.
A lot of people too go over to Australia and realise that actually you have to work your ass off. It's not necessarily that easy to bank money, because all of the problems that we're talking about here, immigration, put the Australian people first, that's all happening in Australia as well as here. And there's people coming back here and we're making it very difficult for them to come back, to get on the road, to get a house as well. Yeah. And I think, you know, we also need to make it more attractive for people to come home. Teachers, their experience learned in Dubai or wherever they are should be counted for their career progression here. So when they come home, they want to come home, they've got somewhere to live, but also they haven't lost 3 or 4 years of the career as well. So we're going to struggle to get them back unless we change some of those things. I look forward to teasing it out with you more on Monday. You're in studio with John McNulty, Pat the Coke Gallagher, Mary T. Sweeney, Piers Doherty, Arthur Desmond McGuinness, and Frank O'Donnell for our first of 3 election debates. For now, Sláinte Fáil, thank you so much for your time. Jerry, that is election candidate Jerry McKeever. Any views on that? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Chris Ashmore is in studio with me. I'm going to chat to him after these. Chris Ashmore, presenter of Business Matters, the podcast from Highland Radio, is live right now on our website and it's going to be broadcast for you on Sunday. We'll tell you more about that anon. But first, say good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Chris.
Yes, of course. I mean, that's like Ernie and what's his name, Morgan and Wise. Say good night, Chris.
Good night, Chris.
Can we the old one to the best? Not an old one, brand new one. Donegal Enterprise Awards 2024.
Yes, we're into the awards season, Greg, as you know, and the Enterprise Awards, Donegal Enterprise Awards, taking place on the 6th of December. And some very interesting businesses have made the shortlist. The finalists include, for example, Killybegs Energy, which is a wood chip manufacturing company. There's also Seabound Engineering in Greencastle, Ireland's leading boat builders of aluminium vessels. New Kid Coffee.
Where are they based?
In Greencastle.
Okay. Yeah. I wonder, are they behind? There was a big launch of a yoke. Do they make commercial fishing yokes?
They do.
Yeah,
they do.
There was a big launch of a beautiful looking boat in. Can't remember. But anyway, I wonder what they might have been. Well, I'll need to give you a bit more information.
Yeah. I'll have it for next week, yeah. The New Kid Coffee, artisan coffee brand based
Cranford.
In Letterkenny. Letterkenny.
Cranford. Sorry, it was launched in Cranford. Carry on, sorry.
Okay. Then there's Huku Balance from Chrysla. There's and the Institute of Study Abroad. Now, this is a company that's helping overseas students to learn about all aspects of Ireland. So a great variety, and also White Park Enterprises, which specialise in solar-powered robotic feeding systems and technology for remote animal care.
Yeah, fantastic. So, okay, yeah, brilliant so stuff. There's some there. Amazing businesses.
And
what they're doing is actually a lot of what you're doing is shining a light on them. A light well and truly shone on Inner Show and Co-op.
Yes, well done to all involved there. A lot of hard work being done on the ground and their interaction with the community. They recently were awarded the Excellence in Community Outreach at the 2024 Octobill Awards. So it's a big thing in the trade. That was held up in the Mansion House in Dublin. So well done to them. And whilst we're on awards, a number of Londis retailers from Donegal honoured at the recent Londis Retailing Experience Awards. Carmel Boner of Boner's Londis in Convoy. Ken Foley of Foley's Londis in Drumlanagher in Donegal Town. And Kieran McKenna, who we have featured on this programme in the past, who is Londis in Buncrana and in Drung as well in Inishowen.
Okie doke. Now, we talked a little earlier to Julian, the recipient or the entrant into the Hall of Fame, the Letterkenny Chamber Hall of Fame. It was announced at the Business Awards at the weekend. Chris, and that's the focus of your first interview, or at least the first one you're mentioning today.
Yes, I've been speaking with Tony Forrester, Chief Executive of Letterkenny Chamber, about the Business Awards. Now, initially they were just based in Letterkenny, but they've branched out. You can be all over the county. There are a number of them that are restricted to Letterkenny, but it's grown over the years, and Tony outlined to me all the various award winners in the category, and also a little bit about the Hall of Fame inductee, as you've mentioned, and the overall Business Person of the Year award.
Business Person of the Year. Now, this year it was People. So we awarded this year to Boyle Construction, Martin and Michael Boyle. We all know what Boyle Construction are doing locally at the town, and they have grown their business since the 80s. Their father and uncle set it up, but they've now taken it on. They employ about 75 people, and they're just well known for the quality of their work and what they're doing. So they're trying to grow their business in a very measured way, but keep that family appeal. So they were really popular winners. People know them very well. There's a lot of suppliers into them. So we were delighted to give that award to them.
All right, and a great night had by all. Now, Wild Atlantic Camp in Chrysla, cracking business. Still haven't managed, with all my positive mentions, to secure a free stay in the luxurious pods that they have at their disposal. I'm not giving up hope yet.
No, never give up hope. Yes, this is a great story, the brainchild of local man Lorcan Rorty. All started off with, I think it was 6 fairly basic pods, but they have developed the complex over the years down in Chrysla. They've now got luxury glamping villas and cabins and chalets. And with Christmas approaching, the team have been developing a number of seasonal offerings, which of course extends the season for them. And Diane Black, the site manager at Wild Atlantic Camp, has been telling me more.
Guest has 3 different types of accommodation. So it's an overnight stay with our glamping villas, our glamping cabins, and our new name, or the 2-story chalets. So guests come, they get an overnight stay, and we do have wee Santa's grotto. So the parents get to come and the kids, and they get to go see Santa and do their post a Christmas letter and stuff like that before they're going to see Santa.
Sounds wonderful, Chris. And as you say, it's extending out the season. And they do a great job there, because I spoke to them going back some time. They talk about the shoulders of the tourism season, don't they?
Yeah,
it's extending
yeah.
it. Talking generally about tourism, sort of St. Patrick's Day to Halloween.
Mm.
But
and
you know, there's not that big a bridge to gap to keep it going, you know.
Yeah, no, they have, for example, they have a Christmas party night. So you go down, you're glamping, and you have an option to go to a local bar and a restaurant. Something different, Greg, thinking outside the box. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yeah,
That's for all your camping needs. Right, that's it, is it? Okay.
Just one other thing just to mention is the local enterprise office. Now, they have a very successful program. It's a trading online voucher geared towards people who maybe want to develop a website or upgrade, and certainly to enhance their digital offering. Just to let people know that the scheme's deadline for this year will close on the 13th of December, so don't miss your chance to apply if you're interested in that.
Chris Ashmore has his podcast available now from Highland Radio. It's on our website, highlandradio.com. It's there, all the back catalogue there as well, which is really exciting. And Chris, for those who want to listen at the weekend, when and where?
Highland Radio after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday, and you can email me if you want to contact me. The address is businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
All right, great stuff, Chris. Thanks so very much indeed. Okay, heading into the last quarter of the last hour of the 9 till noon show after these. Now, I'll start with a new weather warning. It's a moderate weather warning for low temperatures for Donegal. I'm not sure the significance of putting a colour on it, but anyway, look at... I can't be the filter on that. So very cold with widespread frost and icy stretches possible. Impacts hazardous conditions on roads and paths. So it's a yellow low temperature ice warning. The severity is yellow and it's valid from 8 o'clock tonight through to midday tomorrow. So look, we're going to have to be extra careful on the roads. And the one thing I'll say too about the road treatment, it's not a panacea for all, if that's the right word. They're done early, but the temperature can get very cold again very, very quickly, and you can have, you know, freeze thaw with gritting and freezing. So I would never trust even a road that's treated to be ice free, because as I say, it's not perfect. It's a system, but it is not perfect. Now, I just want to mention to not forget to tune in tonight, right after the 8 p.m. news here on Highland Radio. I'm very excited for the premiere of Radio Play, Ballyglisane. It's set in a charming small town nestled in the heart of Donegal. It's a gripping drama series, and it introduces you to the lives and struggles and hidden secrets of Ballyglisane's residents. While a murder investigation unfolds, it's just one thread in the tapestry of captivating stories that makes up this close-knit community. So join us every week from tonight, starting tonight, as we delve into the lives of Ballyglisane's people and uncover the mysteries that lie beneath the surface. It's original production from Highland Radio, coming from the hand of our very own Michael Leddy. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not sure if I'll listen to it weekly or if I'll binge it. I don't know. That's up to you guys out there as well, because it will be available as a podcast. Kieran Sheridan is SIPTU organiser in Dunanall. Good morning to you, Kieran. Thanks for your time this Wednesday morning.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning, listeners.
This crept up on me in that I only heard about it for the first time this morning, unfortunately. Health unions, they're holding a lunchtime protest. It's in opposition to the HSE's pay and number strategy at Letterkenny University Hospital this afternoon. So what really, I suppose, has led up to this action, Kieran?
Greg, it's as a result of a decision made by the HSE and Bernard Laster, something that's implemented in July. In effect, whatever numbers were in situ on the 31st of January of December 2023, that was the cap on employment. So there was another of factors there. People who had retired, vacancies or service developments. There's no wherewithal to recruit staff into those positions that were vacant on the 31st of December 2023.
So that is I'm not sure if it's a stealth situation, but that's a recruitment cap. That's an embargo, is it not?
Absolutely, it's an embargo by default. And what has also become apparent, which is very, very concerning, in 2023, the expenditure on agency staff was 647 million across the wider HSE. And now on most recent data in 2024, for the 5-month period up to May, it shows an increase of 10%. Mm-hmm. So by arbitrary taking the 31st of December figure, it is actually manifested itself in an increase in agency usage. So it has.
Pardon my ignorance, Kieran, but I'm asking these questions for me, but also the wider public then. So when we're told that recruitment is ongoing at Letterkenny University Hospital, that jobs are being advertised, that we need to do more to attract people to the vacancies that are there, are you saying that in reality, in effect, there is no recruitment ongoing at Letterkenny University Hospital in all areas or some areas or not at all?
Some areas there is recruitment ongoing, but there are positions that will become vacant since the 1st of January 2024. In effect, any vacancy position that wasn't filled before that has gone.
And does that extend to nurses, consultants, clerical staff?
All positions. It literally is. It's a very hard and fast rule that they've adopted. If you weren't in post on the 31st of December 2023, it's gone. It has disappeared. So, for instance,
to be clear, I'm sorry, Kieran. So say, there was approval for Letterkenny University Hospital to, let's just say, hire 10 nurses on the 30th of December. If those positions were still vacant come the 1st of January, effectively, that recruitment process is stalled from the start of that day.
Actually, worse, Greg, those 10 positions would have disappeared. There is no management in Letterkenny University Hospital or in any facility in the wider HSE does not have the permission to recruit into those positions that were vacant on the 31st of December. They have disappeared. So they have. Mm. And also, if you look at, let's say, there's a service development in Letterkenny, let's say there's a new unit or in any of the facilities in Donegal, there is a cap on how many people can be employed. So you would have to source positions from someplace else. That is the more serious concern. There's no budget set aside for service development. So there's not. But yet we can increase the use of agencies.
Kieran, might I ask, is the freeze on home care packages and additional home care hours a separate issue? That's a separate budgeting issue, is it?
Well, it's a separate issue, but in effect, if you look at Letterkenny and we look at the delays on trolleys and admissions, the fact is there are people medically discharged in Letterkenny, mm-hmm. but because of the delays in approving the home care packages and getting these so-called additional hours in effect in place, people are not being discharged back to their homes because the care packages aren't there to care for the people in their own homes.
Kieran, are the gaps? Can you put numbers on the gaps then in terms of where we should be at, or at least where we would have been at with recruitment, and where we are at with this effective embargo? Is it easy? Nothing's easier, I suppose, with the health service. But so where are the shortages? Can we put a number on them, or is it across the board?
Well, it's across the board, across each facility and across all grades. The difficulty we're having in Donegal is, if you look at the employment census that the HSE present, it indicates that there has been an increase in numbers over a period of time. But what it doesn't capture is proper, safer staffing, as in it's based on historical needs. And also, there's increased demands on the use of healthcare facilities because the population has grown in approximately 12% over since 2016. So that obviously has a knock-on impact. So it has.
All right, OK. This is the lunchtime protest start today. Thanks, Kieran. That's Kieran Sheridan, SIPDU organiser in Donegal. Should I have known that? I don't know. It's good information to have because no one wants the wool pulled over their eyes. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but just time to get some of your comments. And we've got so many. Please bear with us. We're getting through them. They're all read. None of discredited or not read, but it'll take me till tomorrow to catch up and get through some of these. This listener says 99% of Donegal doesn't realise how big an issue defective blocks are. Every manhole in this county is ready to disintegrate because they are built with these blocks. So many people are sleeping into this crisis. Remelton's the only town I know of which has had some of these manholes replaced. When sinkholes pop up all over this county, remember I told you this, first time I heard that one as well. Successive Irish governments orchestrated the factors that make people emigrate in every decade since partition. If our young emigrate, they can't vote for change here or rise up against the two-party government who don't care about people, only about profits. Right, OK, that's another view. I think there's a long-term angle on it. I live in Buncrana. An elderly person with a heart condition arrived in Carndonagh and was then referred to Letterkenny. They were in the ED since 11 last night until 7:30 this morning. Buncrana has a brand new surgery and it needs to be opened. Nobody in Buncrana can be sick from 5 p.m. on Friday until 10 a.m. on Monday morning. Buncrana surgery should be open 24 hours. Letterkenny University Hospital needs to be upgraded to a state-of-the-art hospital. Greg, you said earlier that any teachers or parents that you speak to don't voice their concerns about SPHE. Teachers will not speak about it because they'll be called whistleblowers. Speak to me off the record then. just give me a background. Speak to a teacher, ring up. Don't have to come on the radio. We won't say who they are. Tell us what's going on in the schools, what they're being asked to teach, what issues they have with it, how it's inappropriate. There are thousands of teachers in the Northwest. Any one of them. That's all I'm looking for, is to speak to a teacher. I'm not saying it's not happening, but it's the biggest cover-up in history. If not one teacher, without any fear of having to go on radio or whatever, would ring up and from the actual classroom, not literally in the classroom when they ring us, and tell us what the story is. Tell me what the story is. But then the listener concludes, but let me remind you, you did speak with two parents on your show voicing their concerns about SPHE in schools. Of course, we will speak to people, but they were, on two occasions, stuff that they'd heard at a public meeting, not what their students had come back and said to them, look, Dad, Mom, this is what I was taught at school. What they were concerned about was what they were told, and it was based off the comments from that whistleblower. That's the public meetings were formed after that whistleblower. Okay, do you get where I'm coming from? I'm not disproving it. I just want more information. Greg, can you please remind donkey owners to keep their donkeys inside in this snowy wet weather, as their coats are not waterproof like other animals? That comes in from Anne, who is concerned. Hi, Greg. I heard that the local Link 966 route Falkara to Dunloe was going to be reinstated back to its original service. Can you or your listeners shed any light on this? We can try and dig in and find out. I don't know that off the top of my head. And on it goes. Listen, thank you. More comments and more content coming for you live tomorrow morning from 9 o'clock. But that's where we leave it on the 9 till noon show today. I'm looking out the window here. The snow is bucking it down on the mountaintop in Letterkenny. So I think we'll all have to be careful on the roads for the rest of today, tonight and into tomorrow. So stay tuned. Most of all, stay safe.